Welcome to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm your host, Faith Ashenden, founder and CEO of That Healing Feeling, where we show you how to become a self-healer of mind, body, and spirit through nervous system regulation. Join me and thousands of my other students as I dive into the world of neuroscience, subconscious programming, energetics, and radical self-love. In this podcast, you will learn that your body and mind are meant to heal, and that under the right circumstances, we can experience miraculous healing by leveraging our own internal infrastructure. Let me guide you as we challenge preconceived notions and outdated narratives and dive into the empowering world of self-healing. My intention is that you leave this podcast full of hope and actionable tools. So without further ado, let's dive in. For about 10 years of my life, I felt like I was constantly trying to reach for new modalities of healing in order to heal my chronic illness and my chronic anxiety and get my life back. For years and years, I felt like I was attaining so much knowledge and it just wasn't working for me. When I sat down to reflect upon why this was the case, I recognized that a huge part of it was that I was a perfectionist. I constantly wanted everything to be all or nothing. Besides that, I was always overanalyzing, overthinking absolutely every single situation, self-criticizing and people-pleasing. So I wasn't able to implement any of these tools effectively because of these tendencies. And they were ultimately holding me back from healing. It wasn't until I was able to dive deep into why this is the case and why I was behaving this way that I could ultimately move past it. I learned that these were trauma responses and that they in themselves were something I needed to heal from and release. That is when I created a methodology for releasing the trauma within without using traditional talk therapy. I didn't want to relive the traumatic events that were stored inside my body, so I used the modalities that I studied to release the trauma and thereby release these responses. This was the start of me healing my nervous system for good and healing my chronic illness and chronic anxiety. Not only was I releasing the trauma that was stored in my body, but I was now able to implement these healing tools in a consistent way without such an all or nothing mentality. I then took the exact method that I used to do this and created my free mini course, Trauma Release Transformation. I am so excited to offer you my mini course and take you through my 5-step signature program to identify your trauma responses, integrate the psyche again through my 4-step transforming trauma into healthy resources strategies so you can release the trauma and step forward in power. I also give you my 6 biggest hacks for creating sustainable habits that last. If you identify with this and you feel like these tendencies are getting in the way from you implementing what you know is good for you, and you want to release this trauma without having to go back and talk through these events, then this free course is for you. Make sure to head to the link in the show notes and snag a seat in my free course, Trauma Release Transformation, so that I can walk you through exactly what I did to heal. I can't wait to see you there. Good morning. Good morning. I hope you guys are doing well. I am actually here recording a podcast. So I've done this once before where basically I tried to record my podcast, but do it live. So if you have questions, you can ask in real time, but you can also reference it later, which I think is important. So let's see if like on the technical side, everything works. I made myself a matcha, so I'm ready to get like the thinking juices going. But we have a really important topic to talk about today. And I think that one of the things I want to do today when we dive into trauma and the relationship between trauma and chronic illness is I want to first and foremost clarify exactly what trauma is. There are a lot of misconceptions about trauma, I think, because social media talks about trauma a lot. People share really extreme stories or anecdotal stories where they're kind of joking around about it. And I think it's really important to have a very clear understanding of, have I experienced it? Can I remember any of it? And what are the implications of these experiences on my physiology? So I'm particularly interested in my line of work in explaining to you the impacts that these experiences can have or have had on your chronic symptoms. And we're not just talking about physical chronic symptoms. That is a given and included. So whether it's a diagnosed chronic condition or it's irrelevant to me whether you have a diagnosis. It can also just be like an unexplained chronic symptom of any kind, or it's a more emotional. So you're experiencing anxiety, depression, dissociation, derealization, something like that. So today I'm going to explain to you the definition of trauma as we now know it, the impact it has on your physiology, and the relationship between that experience and the symptoms that you might be experiencing today. Now, I want to be very clear when I say to you that I am not claiming that all chronic conditions are as a result of a traumatic experience. I don't think that it's ethical for anyone to claim without talking to you and knowing you as an individual that they 100% know what your root cause is. I think it's multifactorial. And I think that it's important that people are empowered with this information so they can self-assess. Is this a factor that I am not considering? And I'm in the business of helping people self-heal. So I want to give you information that allows you to look within and then use your own infrastructure to start to unravel these layers and to experience relief in your symptoms. So that's my aim. Okay. So let's talk first then about trauma. I kind of hate to say that it's a buzzword, but I'm going to say it anyways, because I think people are now more aware of the impact of their experiences. And I think they're also wondering, how can I heal this? So in and of itself, trauma is not defined by the experience itself. The magnitude of the experience, the event, the people, the environment, anything. Trauma has to do with your capacity to process the event. And so this is why it's so important to be empowered with the tools to process the emotions that you are registering from your environment, because this is how you heal despite the fact that life is going to throw you curveballs no matter what. Okay? So trauma is an event that is out of your capacity to cope with and register. So it might be that, and a lot of people have this from childhood because we have less tools in childhood to process events. We're not as emotionally intelligent. And if we are exposed to events that are upsetting and we don't have the tools to process that, to understand and categorize that within the conscious mind, that becomes a trauma. So a lot of people, sort of common traumas could be parents getting divorced, a grandparent dying, moving schools, a friend moving away. These are more like common traumas, abuse of any kind that people are talking about. But what people aren't talking about is that it doesn't have to be that. And it oftentimes isn't that. Trauma is any event that for you in that moment in time is too much for you to process. So it could be that one of your friends made fun of you, pushed you over on the playground. It could be that you got in trouble in second grade and you had to go to timeout. I don't really know the situation, but what I'm saying is trauma can be something that seems now like something very small, but at the time it was too much for you. It was outside your capacity to cope, right? And so all of these events, as far as your subconscious mind is concerned, are equal. Okay. So like your subconscious mind doesn't really understand big and small. It understands the energetic charge of these emotions. So regardless of how you view it now, maybe as an adult looking back, anything that falls within these parameters is considered a trauma and it is stored in the mind and the body. Okay, so I think now that we've gotten that definition of trauma out of the way, I want to talk about how it's stored, where it's stored, and the physiological impact it has on your body. So let's talk about the mind first and foremost. So you guys already know, if you know me, that I am wholeheartedly obsessed with helping you understand the power and the significance of the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is 95% of the mind. So 95% of what's going on in here is subconscious. So that means exactly how it sounds. It is not conscious. It is not the narrative that is running around in your head all day. It is not the racing thoughts. It is not the to-do list. That is 5% of your mind. 95% of your mind is below that awareness, right? This is the autopilot. This is where habits live, where beliefs live, perceptions and values, right? So these really important constructs, narratives, emotions, and memories are stored in the part of our mind that we are not consciously aware of. Yet this part of our mind drives absolutely everything we do underneath the surface. Okay. So I think this is really important to understand, because what happens when we experience a traumatic event is that because the conscious mind does not have the resources to process this event, right? So it's saying, this is too much for me to handle. It's painful. It's difficult. I can't comprehend it. Because our conscious mind and because our body and our mind is always trying to protect us, it essentially pushes it down into the subconscious so that we no longer have to deal with it, right? So the conscious mind looks at a scenario by which our parents are getting divorced. We're 6 years old. This is very painful. I don't know what to do. I'm out of my capacity to register this information. It takes the information, it pushes it down into the subconscious mind, clears up space in the conscious mind so that you can then go about your day without the weight of having to worry about this situation. This is how trauma is consistently stored in the subconscious mind. Now, this is happening for every traumatic experience that you have. Every time a situation is too big for you to deal with, too painful for you to deal with at that point in your life, the mind does what it does best. It takes it out of your conscious awareness. It pushes it down as a resourceful coping mechanism in the moment, and that allows you to free up that cognitive space in the conscious mind to work, go to school, have conversations, eat, sleep, whatever it is you need to do. So this is happening in a pattern throughout our entire life. We're going through events where we don't know how to deal with the event. It's too much for us, right? It comes on too fast. It's too difficult. It's too painful. We push it down into the subconscious mind, and then we go about our day. Well, as you know, energy cannot be created or destroyed, meaning what happens to these emotional memories and these emotional charges that are in our subconscious, right? It can't just dissipate. That's not how it works. The subconscious mind then stores these memories. So you're now left with a situation where you have really highly charged memories, right? These are emotional memories for you. So much so that you couldn't cope with cognitively working through them. They're now stored in the subconscious mind, and you're building up a little bank of storage, right? Of traumas. So first one was at 5, next one was at 5.5, next one was at 7. Some of them you can remember, a lot of them you can't. Which brings me to my next point. It's a reason why I see this so much in my work. My clients might say, I remember an overarching theme of my trauma. So it could have been I was abused, or it could have been a car accident, but I don't remember much else, or I don't know if I experienced trauma. What's really interesting about memories when it comes to trauma is that if we are able to, for example, if I ask you, what did you eat for dinner last night? You would remember in sort of chronological order, like I had chicken, a salad, and a potato, and then I had a strawberry salad for dinner. I remember in chronological order. This is an explicit memory. It was really registered through my conscious mind and processed that way. When you have a traumatic experience. Because it is too much to handle and it quickly moves into the subconscious mind, you lose all sort of time and detail and space. So you don't have accuracy in the memory. You don't have the capacity to access chronological order. When it moves deeply into the subconscious like that, it becomes a very abstract memory. So this is why many times people can't remember their traumatic events, or you know, they remember them incorrectly. So about 90% of what we remember of our trauma is incorrect because of the way that our brain is storing this knowledge. So I think that's also something really important to remember as we move through this, because we become very attached to our trauma. We say, I am like this because, and I am sick because, I am angry because, I'm depressed because. We become very attached to these situations. But it's important to understand that our memories are flawed, right? Our survival strategy is to distort that memory, to push it down. And the memory in and of itself loses accuracy. Okay, so we're in this very confusing situation where we don't consciously remember the details. There's very little accuracy. There's very little chronological order in the event. We hadn't processed it in a conscious cognitive way. So we've pushed it down to the place that dictates our values, beliefs, perceptions, all of that stuff. And now it's living in our subconscious, right? And we need to get rid of it, right? Again. So this is an energy, right? Like these memories, they have to be processed. So there's a lot of talk in this world about processing your emotional trauma, processing your feelings. It's because it can't just stay stuck. It has to go somewhere. But we are in a society now where everything that I've explained has sort of filled the entire subconscious mind, if you will, and it's overflowing. And we are seeing anxiety. We are seeing depression. We are seeing social isolation. We're seeing unexplained chronic pain, unexplained chronic symptoms, autoimmune disease left, right, and center. There's so many issues that are coming up as a result of the fact that we have so much of this energy stored in what dictates 95% of our mind. And people aren't talking about the fact that in order to actually heal, not heal in a way to where you take certain supplements and you eat certain food, and if you get 15 hours of sleep and you do all the things, you're okay. Heal in a way to where you have a sense of resiliency and that you don't relapse. In order to do that, you have to get to the root cause, which in my opinion lies in the subconscious mind. And in some cases, it's a huge trauma, but in many cases, it is little, the accumulation, right? The compounding effect of so many little trapped memories and highly charged memories that are informing the physiology of the body. So this is where I come in. This is my interest. Okay. So this is a very like brief background of what's happening in the mind through our perception of reality and why we're experiencing so many of these issues. Okay. So I hope that makes sense. I'm not sure if that is entirely in alignment with the way that you thought about trauma, the way that you understood what happens to trauma, but this is what's really going on beneath the surface. So here's the thing. The subconscious mind, the job of the subconscious mind really, is always trying to release any stuck energy. Okay? So essentially, the subconscious mind, which is highly, highly moral, okay, just wants to follow the rules. It wants to give you an easy life, believe it or not. And one of the ways it does that is it tries to release memories that aren't serving. So as you can probably imagine, these traumatic memories do not serve you. And the subconscious mind knows that, right? And we'll dive into this, but of course, these subconscious traumas are triggering you. They're causing your body to go into a hypervigilant state. They're making you sick. The subconscious knows this. The subconscious is a freaking genius. It literally records every single thing that's ever happened in your entire life from all of your senses. It's so, so, so complex and so, so, so intelligent. And it is constantly trying to release this stuck energy that it knows is making you sick. So the way that the subconscious mind does this is it looks for any events in your life that remind you of the initial trauma, and it uses it as an opportunity to release that energy. So a lot of people will know this as a trigger, right? So people will say, I'm triggered by this, I'm triggered by that. What are some examples? I'm triggered by a person. I'm triggered by an event, right? So maybe there's like a crowd that triggers you. There's a family member that triggers you, an ex that triggers you. There is a food that triggers you. There is the idea of a worst case scenario, whatever, that triggers you, right? Triggers are your subconscious way of saying, okay, there's an event here that in some way reminds me of the initial trauma. This is my opportunity to bring up that memory so that we can process it and release it. So the subconscious is seeing this as like a really great idea. It's like, this is our opportunity. We can finally be reminded of this event. You can process in a conscious way, right? The front part, the neocortex, this consciously, we can process this energy and this memory. We can release it and we can be free of what is holding us back and making us sick. So we are at war with ourselves, because the more trauma we have, the more triggers we have, and the more charged those triggers become, the more we experience them. So let's say that you are triggered by large crowds and you had a bad experience in a large crowd. It was a traumatic event. It was stored in the subconscious mind. Every time you think of a large crowd, you go into a large crowd, it triggers your nervous system. You feel anxiety. So you are sort of experiencing this cascade of effects. Maybe the anxiety gives you your gut issues, gives you a migraine, gives you a flare up of your eczema, your asthma. It could be so many different things. These are examples of what I see with my clients. That's coming from this scenario by which your subconscious said, hey, there's an event that has reminded me, that is associated in a neural connection somewhere with the initial trauma. Here's my opportunity to release that energy. If I can bring up that memory to the surface, then maybe it can be processed, released, and then we no longer will have to store what's making us sick. So we're going through this cycle in all areas of our life. Okay. So whatever your situation is, whatever your traumas are, maybe you remember them, like I said, based off this definition, maybe you don't. I don't know your story personally. You're being highly triggered and you're now giving yourself loads of labels. So this is what I hear. I hear, I am an anxious person. I have asthma. I have autoimmune. I have chronic back pain. I have chronic fatigue. I have fibromyalgia. So there's loads of different categories or titles we give ourselves, right? Because we don't know what's happening. We don't understand. So we just assume on an identity level that this is just who we are. So now, instead of assessing it from this lens, you are a normal whole person who experienced these series of scenarios that has led you to this point, and now your body is trying to help you communicate with you and help you be healthy. You've started to identify as someone who's sick, as someone who's anxious, and then everything changes for you. Okay. And so you can kind of see how this whole like series of events are emerging, and think maybe to yourself as you sit here today, you know, do I fall in that category? And in some capacity, is this relevant to me? These are the kind of wheels that I want to be turning for you, because this is the beginning of self-healing. It's like really stripping it back and saying, yes, there are so many other modalities to bring in. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, taking care of your physical body and eating healthy and moving your body and all of these amazing integrative methods we use aren't helpful. But at the end of the day, if you're not using this lens, it's not sustainable, right? Because we are so much more than just nourishing ourselves from a physical standpoint. We are so much more. And that's what the subconscious mind is all about. The longer we hold on to these energies, the stronger the triggers become. We ruminate on the triggers. We collect evidence that we are some sort of person. We identify with that kind of person. And whatever we identify with becomes our reality, point and blank. If you are a student of mine, if you've worked with me in any capacity, I will tell you this every single day. The highest level of the mind is your identity. If you identify as something, you will be that person. Change in your life starts with changing your identity. You identify as a sick person, you will always be a sick person. You identify as an anxious person you will be. Okay. So as soon as you start to identify with this, your life is forever changed. And think about it, because if you have a chronic condition, the second you sat down and your practitioner said, this is your life now, like you are this person, from that day on, your life changed. Not because someone told you something, because I tell you something every day, right? Like people, you literally hear like so many words every day. People always tell you things, right? It changed because in that moment, your identity changed. And from that day forward, every day, you had that condition because it was that powerful, right? Anything that impacts your identity will change your life. So you can see this cascade of how we start to assume this identity. We get addicted to the narrative of that identity and it changes the trajectory of our life forever. Now, I just want to add one more thing in here before we talk about in a more in-depth way the physiology of the work that I'm teaching you here today. So the mind we talked about is really, really highly efficient and it's always trying to support you, right? So we're highly intelligent beings, right? And our mind is always scanning the environment, trying to pick out the relevant bits of information here, there, wherever. We're hit with what is estimated 2 million bits of information every single second. Obviously, completely impossible to absorb all that information. Like you're sitting here, you've absorbed hopefully what I'm saying and maybe two or three other bits of information through the senses during this entire conversation. So how does your brain choose what to absorb? How does it siphon through the 2 million bits of information? So we call this the reticular activating system. This is a really popular phenomenon. It's talked about a lot in the self-development space. So you might be familiar with it. What it means is that your mind deletes, distorts, and generalizes anything that is not in alignment with your beliefs. So I'm just going to say that again because I think this is really important. You are hit with 2 million bits of information every second. Right? And you're like sitting there thinking like, do I take in, like how long in my life would it take for me to take in 2 million bits of information, right? I don't know. But you take in about 3 or 4 pieces of information. How does your brain choose? It deletes, distorts, and generalizes anything that is not in alignment with your beliefs. So if you're taking notes or you're trying to have an aha moment, I would write that down. It deletes and distorts and it generalizes anything not in alignment with your beliefs. So what's really interesting about that is that it's not deleting, distorting, and generalizing on the basis of what's really happening. It's deleting, distorting, and generalizing on the basis of what you believe. So that should be a mind blown if you haven't already heard that before. Why? Because what you are absorbing through the senses in any given second is not based on reality. It is literally based on what you believe to be true. So we've seen this story. If you've been watching this the whole time, we talk about the traumatic event happening. We talk about it being stored into the subconscious mind. We talk about what triggers are and how the subconscious uses that in our favor in an attempt to release that energy, release that memory. We talk about the physical symptoms that come along with that and how we assume an identity as a sick person as a result of that trigger. Now we believe that we are a sick person and what happens? Well, the reticular activating system will delete, distort, and generalize anything that's not in alignment with our belief of being sick. Okay, so what does that mean? It will look for evidence to prove your belief that you are sick. So what is this saying? I think it's like, when you change the way you look at things, what you look at changes, right? So what that means is you believe you're sick. Your brain will literally distort information in your reality to prove to you that you are sick. So every day you are collecting evidence. You're going throughout your entire day collecting evidence that you are a sick person, that you're an anxious person. You're reticular activation system is providing you that evidence, constantly distorting and generalizing and deleting evidence to the contrary. You're consistently being triggered because you have this subconscious energy, these traumas that are stored, but instead of using it as a way to release that energy, you're using those triggers as evidence that you are sick to confirm that identity, and you're living in a cycle that is keeping you sick. Okay? So this is the cycle that my clients are in when they come to me. This is the cycle that I believe the majority of people are in. Like I said, I can't ethically sit here and tell you that I know everyone's story. That is not true. And to be honest, everyone's story is different, right? Like, you can't really compare. No two people's story is going to be the same. But I can say that if you're not taking this lens, nothing will ever work, because I know the brain, right? And whatever you believe to be true, that's what you're going to find in your life. Like, that's just the way that it works. Let's talk about now what's happening with the nervous system. So as you know, I help people specifically with the subconscious and the implications on the nervous system. By now, if you've been watching this the whole time, I think you'll probably understand why this is so important and so fascinating and so empowering. So what's really interesting about the subconscious is that it sits between your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. Now, your unconscious mind is your nervous system. It's your body. Okay? So you've got conscious, subconscious, unconscious. Conscious is 5%. Subconscious is the rest, right? And the 95%. And the unconscious just is the body. Okay? So the subconscious mind is consistently informing the body through the nervous system how to behave. Because the body, it obviously, like, it can't speak our language, right? Like, the body literally is instinct. It acts instantly. It lives in the now. It follows instruction. And the way that it follows conscious instruction from the mind is through the subconscious. So think of it as like the communication line, the communication highway between your conscious thoughts and your body. So consistently, your subconscious is informing through the nervous system, your body how to behave. If it wants your body to be chill, it's going to inform it everything is fine, everything is good, let's relax, we can go to sleep. If it wants your body to be on red alert, you need to take a test, do a presentation, or actually your life is in danger, your subconscious is going to get your body into a state to be able to be quick and reactive and utilize all your energy in the right places. So your subconscious is calling the shots. What's interesting about that? It's your subconscious, right? So, like, let me just like say that one more time. Your subconscious is really calling the shots. So your subconscious is underneath your conscious awareness, and it's informing the nervous system. Where your beliefs, where your values, where your perceptions, right? Where your identity, where your habits, where your trauma, where that lives, it is telling your body how to act. So I'm going to explain to you then the implications on the nervous system, since you understand this communication highway. Okay. So the nervous system, for those of you who are kind of new to this kind of work, the nervous system is really has two languages. Okay. So the nervous system is very primitive. It helps us heal, maintain homeostasis, which is basically where everything's in equilibrium, and fight for our lives if we need to survive. So it controls pretty much every mechanism in the body. It's very important. Very, very, very important. It underpins everything. And it speaks two languages. So this is really important for you to remember if you're taking notes. If you want to do this work, I cannot emphasize how important this is going to be for you. So if you can write this down somewhere, it's going to be good. So safety and survival. Those are the two languages of the two, two languages of the nervous system. It only understands those two things. So maybe it's two categories of the nervous system, safety and survival. So whenever you're doing this work that I'm teaching you and doing the work I know you want to do and are doing, you are going to always categorize your thoughts and your actions into safety and survival, because then it's really easy, right? Because your nervous system doesn't understand like anything in between, right? Your nervous system is your unconscious mind. It doesn't understand reason and logic. It only understands those. And you can feel it in your body, right? Like if you think something that scares you, your heart kind of flutters, you get butterflies in your stomach, you get a bit sweaty and clammy. So this is the feeling of survival. Some people call it anxiety. And you know when you feel safe, right? You might feel a bit tingly, you might feel a bit relaxed. You can feel it in your unconscious mind, in your body, safety or survival. So part of this work is becoming aware of what your body is feeling. And you can even do like taking notes, right? Like I'm thinking about this in the moment. It's not necessarily something I've had my students do, but you could like do like a body scan, check in. Does it feel like it's in safety or does it feel like it's in survival? And if it is one of those categories, what does that feel like in my body? Because the more you can get comfortable with and really get a clear understanding of what category your body feels in at that moment, the more you can start to see what your thoughts are triggering, right? So get in your body, body scan, take notes, become aware of the symptoms. Don't suppress them. Don't ignore them. Don't make them your identity. Just ask yourself, do they feel safe or do they feel like survival? So that's really important. You see how we're detaching identity, detaching beliefs, right? And we're just trying to get really primitive, really instinctual, really simplified. It's something that we can all do, something we can all share. No one is exempt from this. So it's really important work. So when we have this trauma stored in the subconscious, right? And so for those of you who are just joining, I would recommend to watch this later too, because I'm going through a very like chronological explanation of the inception point of trauma and kind of what's happening in the conscious and subconscious and all of that. But it is, you're still going to get something out of it if you just joined, basically, is the point of what I'm saying. So, when we have this trauma stored, and we talked about the fact that the subconscious, its job is to release what isn't serving us. So it'll use events around us that trigger some sort of similar sensory input, sensory information to bring up that energy, to bring up that charge, right? We typically see that as anxiety. We typically see that as a chronic symptom. Why? So this is what's really interesting and really important. When the subconscious brings up that memory with the goal, with the primary directive for you to release it, it also brings up the physiology of the event. So think about this. You experience a trauma and the traumatic situation puts you in survival, right? So in that situation, your heart's beating, you're sweaty, you're in a survival state, you're in what we call fight, flight, sympathetic nervous system, whatever you identify with. And that is the physiology of the event. That physiology is marked with that memory. So every time that memory comes up, every time it's triggered, even subconsciously, meaning you are not consciously aware of the memory being triggered, the physiology is triggered as well. So how many times do you feel in a day you're having a mini flare, you're having a mini trigger, and all of a sudden your thoughts are spiraling? Oh my God, I'm going to have a migraine. Oh my God, I'm going to have an asthma attack. Oh my God, my gut is bloated now, whatever it is, right? The physiology is being brought up in tandem with the memory. So because you aren't aware of this entire cascade of what your subconscious is trying to do by releasing the memory, you are only identifying with the physiology. And so this is where the whole, I have a chronic condition, I'm just an anxious person, whatever, comes about, right? Because you're only feeling the physiology of what's coming up, not consciously aware that the physiology of the initial trauma is always going to come up when the memory is trying to be released. So it's like a time stamp, right? It's like it's going to bring up every single sensation of that event, but it's not really happening now. It's the physiology from what happened then. Yet we continue to identify with that physiology and we continue to label it and tell ourselves that we're chronically sick and we're chronically anxious and we are just this kind of person and this is just our destiny and life sucks and I'm anxious and this is shit. And I can't go anywhere and I'm bedbound and I'm housebound and I have social anxiety and blah, 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 right? This is the narrative. This is the story we tell ourselves. And then we look for evidence to support this and we perpetuate our own reality. So it's really, really important to be aware that the physiology of the event is timestamped, okay? And the information is coming up to the conscious mind. The memory often tries to come up. And it's also going through the nervous system. Remember, we talked about the subconscious communicates to the unconscious, which is the body, through the nervous system to bring about a physiological response, the same one from that event. So that's going to be the feeling of survival. That's going to be that feeling of rapid heart rate, sweaty, all those things. We all know what that feels like. We've had that experience before, right? So this sort of like cycle, if you will, of continuously going into fight or flight, because our body is trying to release this trauma, it weakens the immune system. Okay. So no organism in nature is designed to live in survival for an extended period of time. No organism. When a bear or a lion or whatever, right, another like mammal is in a life or death situation, it will go into fight or flight. And the second the threat is gone, it will go back into rest and digest. It does not hold on subconsciously to the memory. It releases it and it goes straight back into safety. But as human beings, we are different. We are more complex. We continue to hold on to these memories and our body continues to physiologically act as though we're in that situation until we release that memory. So we're continuously being triggered. We're continuously being reminded, even though consciously perhaps we're not aware. And in doing so, our body is living in this survival state for too long. Remember, I said no organism in nature can live in a state of survival, right? In a fight, flight, or sympathetic state for an extended amount of time. The body will start to weaken. It's impossible. We can't do it. And this is why we see this epidemic of chronic conditions, chronic anxiety, chronic illness, autoimmune, whatever you want to call it. So physiologically, we are living in this state of survival. Our immune system is weakening, right? So we're susceptible to everything and all things. And we see these long-term viral issues as well starting to occur. But what's really interesting is we start to see epigenetic changes. So basically, our genes start to express in an unfavorable way. So what does this mean? So autoimmune, for example, perhaps we were predisposed. Perhaps we, you know, this is something that presents later in life. Now, what is the condition that is creating an environment by which this gene can present? Stress. Extended periods of stress. The stress that we are living in because it's stored in our subconscious, not because it is all around us, because it's stored in our subconscious. And because that physiology is trying to be released, because that memory is trying to be released. And so we're constantly being triggered, right? Is actually weakening our immune system and causing things like autoimmune to express. But not only that, it's causing our muscles to tense, right? So when we are stressed, think about it. Your shoulders go up. How many of you right now, if you touch your shoulders, can push them down? How many of you, if you move your jaw around, can feel that there's tension in your jaw? These are responses of being in survival. When we need to fight for our lives, our energy moves into the places that will allow us to fight, right? So like it moves into our jaw so we can bite. It moves into our extremity so we can run or we can fight. Okay. So when we are in this survival state, we are tense in our body. And what happens to so many people who hold this tension is that we start to get chronic pain. Sometimes we get a diagnosis, sometimes we don't. A lot of the time we see it in our hips, we see it in our lower back, we see it in our legs, we see it in our pelvis, right? In these areas where we carry this tension, we see it in our jaw. A lot of my clients have it in their jaw because, again, remember that energy is sent to your jaw so you can bite. We see it in our shoulders. We see it in and around our head. So the jaw as well affects that. So we call that migraine headaches. Usually it's unexplained. Again, sometimes people can get a diagnosis, but in my opinion, the diagnosis is very much to make people feel better because in reality, it's very much stemming from the same source. So, which is why to me, it's irrelevant whether or not you have a diagnosis, right? Because like you can see the way that we would address this problem, the way that we'd attack this problem is always the same. Okay. So the physiological state is brought up. It's causing weakened immunity. It's causing epigenetic changes. It's causing our muscles to tense up for us to carry tension, which in time has a compounding effect of chronic pain. Now, people are getting all sorts of diagnoses. They're identifying even more with their condition because the pain is there, right? One, because they're looking for it and where attention goes, energy flows. And two, because it is actually fucking there, right? Because physiologically, we know exactly what happens when we don't release this energy. So it's all very real, very, very real. But again, we're talking about the inception point. We're not discounting the fact that the sensations are real, but we're talking about the inception point of these sensations. Now we've kind of gone through the entire cycle of trauma and what it is, what happens when we don't have the resources to process it, where it goes, and how it stays there if we don't release it. And what happens when we start to identify with our condition, how that perpetuates our sensations, how our beliefs dictate what input our brain, right, registers, and how it will always look to provide evidence for what we identify with, and how our subconscious will always, 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 always try to release this energy and will continue to do so until we acknowledge it. So what that means is if you don't acknowledge what's coming up as your body trying to help you heal, if you are at war with your body, right? So you're like, I want to heal, but my body sucks. It keeps doing these things, right? That is you being at war with your body. You cannot heal in a body that you're at war with. This is really important. You cannot heal with a body that you are at war with. Every single sensation, whether it be physical, emotional, is an attempt for your body to communicate to you something. And your job as you, capital Y, right? The one who is observing this, right? Because you're not your mind, you're not your body. You are learning about your mind, you're learning about your body, but you are not those things. Your job is to help establish a line of communication between the mind and the body so that the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious is working in unison. You are not at war with, you don't think that your body's faulty, you don't think that your body's broken, you don't think, for fuck's sake, why me and not them, but actually you think, okay, you know, you're just trying to tell me something. What is this sensation trying to tell me? And this is the way that you start to heal. Like, people always say to me, like, Faith, like, what is like the number one thing you can do? Or my favorite question, how did you do it? It's like, if you could say it in one sentence alone, trust me, like, I have been trying. But what I would say, if I had to sum it up, that the most important thing that you can do if you want to self-heal, because let me just add, like, anyone can self-heal, literally anyone. There's not one person who has like more capacity than someone else. We can all do this work. If you want to do this work, the first step you must take is start to become an ally with your body. Start to see yourself on a subconscious level as on the same team. How do you do that? When these sensations arise, you simply ask, what are you trying to tell me? You don't let the emotion of anger or frustration, as much as it can be, come up. You have to break that cycle. You have to consciously do the work to break the cycle, to start to rewire the subconscious, the perception, the beliefs that your body is against you. Rewire that to, my body is trying to communicate with me. My body's trying to heal. My body wants to heal. My body's primary directive is to heal. What are you trying to tell me? And that is the very, very, very starting point of reversing whatever is that's holding you back in your life. And that's what I really want to get across in everything that I do. And I really want to like spark that light bulb moment in someone when, you know, when they think, ah, okay, I get it. Like, I can't heal if I'm consistently at war with my body. And I think that, you know, everybody in the healing space who is working in all these different modalities, which are very much necessary, I honestly think that that is like the premise of all the work that we do, right? Those of us who truly believe that you can heal yourself because it's possible, there's evidence out there, go look for it, it exists. that is what we believe to be true. That is what we know to be true. And it is true for you. So what I want to leave you with is today I talked a lot about what is trauma? What is the relationship between trauma and chronic illness? What's happening in the body? I'm giving you a narrative shift, a cognitive reframe as to how to start to look at what's going on inside the way that you feel, how to communicate with your nervous system. Is it safety or survival? How to do body scans, right? How to analyze your beliefs, how to work on your identity. There's a lot of work here, but there are practical steps you can take to start to release the trauma. And that is why I wrote the Trauma Release Transformation, right? So the Trauma Release Transformation is my free program, is a 5-step course on how to release your trauma so that you can start to heal. We talk about all the different ways that you can approach it that are gentle and crucially do not ask you to relive the events. I am someone who is obsessed with working on the subconscious pretty much exclusively. I don't want people to feel like they need to talk through their trauma in order to release it. It is an antiquated paradigm and it re-traumatizes the nervous system. So my perspective is that we can look at ways to release that energetic charge, to release that memory so that what is there that's no longer serving you is gone. However, you still are doing the work so that you can start to release the physiology that also isn't serving. This process is in the Trauma Release Transformation. Like I said, this is a free program. This is really immersive, intensive video series with quizzes and scientific literature and somatic work, subconscious work, everything you need to really get started on this journey. I think a lot of people give information, right? They want to tell you like, this is what you do, right? But they're not telling you how. So I know the how is important because I've been there and like it's all good and well to know like the theory, but I know you want to implement it. So if you are someone who resonates with this, you are interested in being a self-healer, you want to implement it, then go to the link in my bio, sign up for my free program. It is only live for a couple of weeks and then we move off social media and then it's not launched again for another year. No, it will not be available in between then. We only launch it at this time in the year. And yeah. Just want to get the message out. You know, it's important. So I'm going to try now to take a few looks at the questions. Let's see. So someone says, do you offer private therapy sessions? I do not offer private sessions anymore. It wasn't sustainable. However, I do offer a hybrid coaching program called HTA. It is the only program I offer and it's highly effective. So if you're interested in this kind of work, send me a DM that says HTA and I can get you on the wait list. It is not open, but those who get on the wait list get a steep discount as well as a live kind of like lecture Q&A with me. I don't do that in any other capacity. It's only for waitlisters. Again, if you are interested in HTA, DM me on Instagram, HTA, and I will get you on the wait list. Someone else said, thanks so much. I really needed this today. Oh, I'm glad. I hope it was helpful. Okay, hold on. I've got to scroll down. Okay, any questions? Okay, someone said, have you heard of mind, body, spirit release? And is it an effective tool to address trauma release? I haven't heard of that as a specific, I mean, like logically mind, body, spirit to me is what you're doing when you release trauma. So I would say that's effective. I don't know the exact like methodology, but it sounds really cool. Someone said, I've just finished HTA and it's amazing. Hi, Isabel. I can't wait to see you back for the next round. All of my students now can take it in perpetuity, meaning you can join the lectures forever for free. So I'm so excited to see you soon. Okay, hold on. Sorry if I'm missing your questions. I promise I am going to keep. Someone said, what's HTA? It is my signature coaching program. It is not open for registration, but if you want to get on the waitlist, go ahead and DM me HTA and my team will get you on the waitlist and you will be invited to a off social media special Q&A live with me, the only capacity by which I do it. We will have a little mini lecture and chat about the program. It's amazing. Yeah. You don't have to do, someone says you have to do top down work before you can do this. No, you can just start with what I taught you today. There are no rules in this game, right? You guys, there's no one way to do it. Anyone who tells you it has to be this way is wrong, in my opinion. I think that, you know, whatever feels aligned for you, whatever is the way that you want to start is right for you. Go for it. Like there's just no one way to do this work, but I do like to offer a way that I feel like can be accessible. But there's no prerequisite for it. Anyone can do this work. We're all the same, really. Is it the same as the Self-Healing Academy? So the Self-Healing Academy is just like basic brain retraining. So it's not the same. HTA takes it to a whole new level. It has live training with me. There's quantum healing in there. There's accessing different brain waves. There's an element of spirituality. And there's also brain training, but it's very much rewiring your subconscious from start to finish. It's very intensive. So yeah, it's not the same. Someone says, have you thought about writing a book? It's on my list. I really want to, but I have two babies. And so I'm like trying to not fill myself up too much with work. So right now, like this is manageable. I think once my kids are a little bit older, I would love to do a book. I would love to do live retreats. I would love to do so much. But someone said, what about when you ask, what are you trying to tell me? And it's an actual present concern. Well, if it's an actual present concern, then it wouldn't be a past memory. It would just be something that you're working through now, if I'm understanding correctly. So like, that's great. That's just like you working through it in real time and you resolving in real time, which is what we really should be doing so that it isn't stored, if that makes sense. Someone asked, I'm currently in Academy and I just started. Is HA something I can be in at the same time? Yes, definitely. The Academy is always going to be there. You get free access once you join HTA anyways. But the Academy, again, is like, it's very kind of like many things you can do every day. Whereas HTA, it's very intensive. Like it's a full transformation in 8 weeks. It'll literally rewire your subconscious. It's radical change and it's led by me personally. And it's the only way that I coach live. So if you are interested, like I said, DM me HTA. It's not open yet. I'm glad to see that there is interest though. It's not open yet, but we do have a wait list. That's really nice. Thank you, Kristen. That's really kind. Yes, I would love to write a book. I definitely will. So someone asked about trauma and POT. So it's really the same as everything else that I've been talking about. So it can present itself in different ways. But the symptoms are physical. I just want to like reiterate that I am not at all saying that these symptoms are in your head. That's the opposite. These symptoms are real. Like if you are experiencing them, they are being experienced, right? Like there's no if, and, or buts about it. But what I am saying is that they are perpetuated and made more intense by also what's in our subconscious mind. Our subconscious mind informs the nervous system. It tells the nervous system whether or not we are safe or we are in survival. So if we are consistently in a survival state, it's going to cause epigenetic changes, meaning autoimmune can flare, whatever your autoimmune condition might be. Also, it's going to perpetuate the symptoms. It's going to make them worse. And what we know in updates in pain science is the longer you experience chronic symptoms, the more painful they become, as well as the faster the onset. So you might have a chronic condition and think, well, actually, it didn't even used to be this bad. And I've been doing all this work and now it's even worse, right? Well, that's what we know to be true now, having this data on chronic conditions, that actually the pain does intensify over time the more you experience it. Why? Because pain is a message from the brain. The brain is sending you a message to get you to act. We weren't designed to experience chronic pain. We were designed to experience acute pain. So when we're in the situation where the same pain signals are being sent, but we're not acting, right? Because what can we do? The brain tries to send the signal in a more intense way. So it gives us more pain. It makes us get even more sensitive and triggered even faster. It's trying to get us to act. It doesn't understand that there's nothing that needs to be done. It doesn't understand that we are safe. And so there's so many different things going on behind the scenes. Yes, the sensations are real. But the key to reducing and ultimately releasing these sensations is building that line of communication between the body and the conscious mind. So we can say, ah, I know what you're doing here. I know you're trying to send me a message, right? You're trying to get me to act. And then communicating back that actually, no, we're safe. What does this do? When we communicate that we're safe, it sends a cascade effect in the body, right? It's about 1,200 biochemical and hormonal reactions that ultimately turn down the sensation of pain or whatever your unwanted sensation is, allow us to breathe in a way that slows down our heart rate, that sends the energy back into the organs and functions that are non-essential, like digestion, right? And to the logic centers of our brain so we can utilize resourceful methods in the moment. Like there's so much that happens when we send that message of safety to the body. But first and foremost, we need to understand this process, right? Because if you don't even know what's happening underneath the surface, how could you possibly send a message of safety to the body so you can experience the relief that rest and digest or parasympathetic brings? Like there's so much bubbling underneath the surface, but by no means am I saying that those sensations aren't very real and very debilitating. Okay, hold on. Someone says, when we have a panic or anxiety attack, should we just feel the feeling and not go around it? Like make our body used to being uncomfortable in that moment and train our brain? No, that is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, but is a good question. What I'm saying is, so when anxiety starts to rise, you notice the sensations in the body. We're all pretty familiar with how it feels for us. And we're like, okay, this is definitely the body feeling unsafe, right? It feels like we need to fight for our lives or run for our lives, whatever. So in that moment, if you recognize that my body is feeling unsafe, it's being triggered by something, it's trying to release something, don't get comfortable with that because that's impossible. You cannot get comfortable in anxiety, right? It's like physically impossible because that's in the, we talked about the two categories, safety and survival. That is in the category of survival. It's impossible to get comfortable there. Comfort only lies in the category of safety. So that is where you use your tools to step into that category of safety. You need to be familiar with what safe feels like. You need to know how to communicate to the mind and to the body that everything is okay. So the most important thing is identifying when that sensation arises and then combating it as quickly as you can. So when you combat that feeling, that act of combating it is regulation, just to be very clear. Regulating doesn't mean staying always in rest and digest. It's a wave. It means being able to come from fight or flight or sympathetic down to rest and digest. And in that wave like this, you're regulating. So at first, when you're dysregulated, it's manual. So that means you have to identify it. You have to employ your tools. You bring yourself back to safety. Now you've regulated. The next time it becomes a little bit easier. And then slowly the habit or the capacity to regulate becomes instinctual. Like anything else, it becomes instinct. It becomes habitual. And instead of having spiraling thoughts, instead of feeling sick, your body will just naturally bring back this sensation of ease and safety. So this is the process of regulating. So It's, you know, people say, just regulate. Well, what the hell does that mean? That's what that means. It means identifying when you are in that place of survival and finding ways to get it back into safety. That's all it is. And at first, that's really hard and it gets easier. It's not always going to be like that much work. But when we're in the habit of being in survival so much, we get a bit lost in it all and we think, well, what's the answer? What do I do? It's so complicated. How come she can do it and she can do it? And there's so many words. And do I have to do this first? Or do I need this degree? Or do I need to like go back to school? You don't need to do any of that. You just need to recognize when you're in the bucket of survival and move it into the bucket of safety. And there are lots of ways to do that. There's so many ways to do that. Different ways you can do that. Meditation, different ways you can do that. Breathing, different ways you can do that. Brain training. Like there's so many different things that you can do. I always recommend practicing these things every day because in the moment, you're not going to refine a skill. No one ever like refines that in the moment. You're having a panic attack. You need to be able to access something that you already know how to do, right? Like you're not going to be like, okay, now I'm going to Google a brain training thing and I'm going to learn it while I'm panicking and everything hurts. No, every day you wake up and you practice three different skills. You become really good at them so that when you do a panic attack, boom, you can take them out and use them. Okay, so that is the process of regulating. And it actually is that simple. If you are complicating it, it's wrong. It's so simple. People want it to come across as complex, but it's just not. someone said, if we want the intensive, just message you here. So if you want to be on the waitlist for HTA, please DM me on Instagram because I will not be able to look at all these comments later. So for those of you who are asking about that, please, please don't just leave it here because I don't have access to these comments later. Yes, my entire program is nervous system regulation. Someone just asked. That is the point of the whole program. I would never, okay, here's my thing. I would never ever sit there and try to tell you to get comfortable in an uncomfortable scenario. Like I will always teach you tools to get yourself, albeit internally, comfortable, to find peace, to find serenity, calm, joy, whatever it is. Those are the tools you can access internally despite your circumstances. And this is the act of regulating. So yeah. Someone says, some people just say to sit with your anxiety rather than resist it. So it gets confusing. I totally understand. I don't know which people are saying that personally. I know I'm not saying that. Maybe that works for some people. All I'm saying is if it doesn't feel good for you, is it working for you? Like, because you don't need to ask me what you already know, right? Does it feel intuitive for you to sit with that? Is that what you feel is going to be healing for you? You have the answers inside of you already. You know that that's not healing, right? Like, imagine an anxiety attack. Does it feel healing to sit with that? So what you feel is the right thing is probably the right thing, right? Someone telling you to sit with your anxiety, to be spiraling and just like let it wash over you. If that doesn't feel healing to you, then that's not healing for you. I would venture to say that what feels healing for you is to find something that actually brings your body and your mind a sense of peace, to actually be able to slow your breathing down, to actually feel comfortable feels healing. And you go by what you feel, right? In the body. Like we all know what it feels like to feel comfortable and to feel anxious. And so I think just remember that there are a lot of things out there. And I think a lot of theories out there. And the most important thing is that this work relies on being able to listen to your intuition and listen to what feels good for you. If you're questioning it and it doesn't sound right, then it's probably not. It is that simple. Often you ask yourself, like, is it really that simple? Yes, it literally is that simple. So people are talking a little bit about just anxiety over like specific things, like specific focuses. I think what's really cool about this work is it doesn't really matter what your anxiety, phobia, pain, or whatever is, it still applies. So if you're saying to me, like, my anxiety is about playing, or my anxiety is about crowds or whatever, and it's really intense, it doesn't really matter. Like the work of regulating, of finding tools irrelevant to your phobia or your anxiety to bring you back to calm applies no matter what. So your phobia might be flying and your phobia might be crowds, let's say. These are just general phobias, but your brain doesn't actually care where it's directed at. It just cares that it's in survival. So if you can bring that felt sense of safety, it's going to be effective for you regardless of what your phobia is. Does that make sense? So focus your energy on what you want, not what you don't want. That is a really good tip. If you're sitting here thinking, what if this, stop focusing your energy on what you don't want and focus it on what you want. If you want to regulate, stop focusing on the things that aren't working for you. Focus on what does work for you. What works for you? Meditation, yoga, somatic work of any kind. So stretching to release tension, what works for you, brain training, visualization, right? Getting your feet on the earth, winding down before you sleep, tapping. I don't know what works for you. I'm not you. I'm giving you some suggestions, right? I teach this in a very intricate way, but I'm not going to gatekeep. There are loads of things. These are where you should be focusing your attention, because on where your attention goes, your energy flows. Too many people. Every time someone comes to my program, I say, tell me what you want. Do you know what they tell me? What they don't want. Every single time. What do you want out of my program? Well, I don't want to wake up with pain in my hip and I don't want to wake up with a migraine. I don't want to have anxiety about going in. But tell me what you want. No one knows what they want. So stop focusing your attention and your energy on what you don't want and pivot towards focusing your energy and your attention on what you do want. If you want calm, what is calm? What is safety? What is peace? How do you find it? Don't wait till you're in the moment of what you don't want to reach for it. This is where discipline comes in. Wake up and do what? Practice these things, right? We don't do it just for fun. We don't meditate for, well, maybe you do. I don't know. You know, meditate, yoga, brain train, visualize, affirmations, all these things. These are the simple things that are going to help you regulate. But if you focus your attention and your energy on what you do want, it will start to manifest in your life. So regardless of what your situation is, it will work for you. I took Faith's HTA course for my anxiety and it was life-changing. I'm so glad to hear that. But really what's life-changing is the work that you did, right? Because it is truly the internal work. I just give you the confidence to believe that it's possible and some ways to make it easier, I think, personally. But anyways, so we are out of time here. We've run over time. I could talk about it forever. I'm so glad it was helpful. So if you guys are interested in this work, because there are loads of questions coming through and running out of time, I'm going to come live next week. But if you want to know about when I'm going live and crucially take my free program, the Trauma Release Transformation, sign up with the link in my bio. You'll get emails about when I'm going live. You'll get all my free weekly emails. You'll get access to my free course. At least it gives you a starting point so you stay in communication with me. You have free tools to access. You'll be on the email list to get all my podcasts, which are very much structured like this. And it just gives you those tools to start doing this work, leaning into your intuition. And the best part, it's not ever me saying buy a product or do this thing. It's always me just giving you the tools to do this work on your own, because you can do it without having any of that stuff. The other stuff is fun. The other stuff is nice. I love a meditation cushion. I love a fun wellness device, but absolutely none of it is necessary to do this work. The only thing that's necessary is your attention and your energy. So I hope that it was helpful. Thank you so much for tuning in on both platforms. I have my Instagram community here. I have my TikTok community here. And I'm going to sign off now, but have a great, great weekend. This episode is going to be live on my podcast next week. So if you want to re-listen to it, or if you didn't take notes, please feel free to tune into the podcast, get on the email list, subscribe to that healing feeling. I'm on all the podcast channels. So I will be there almost weekly lecturing, giving you these kinds of tips.